How is everybody doing today? We are ready to continue class today. I hope you received the copy of all of the constellations from the beginning to the very end. I wanted you to have that so that as you study it with your study book in the material that we sent you, that you will be able to look at the Hebrew words and look at the structure of what's going on. And but we're not going to continue on that today, because if we go through those constellations week by week, it would take us quite a bit of time to get through the constellations. So, and I want us to hurry up and get to some other areas, because now that the Lord has shown me this Jubilee thing, I don't know how much time I got left. I want to get as much as we can in, okay? So the whole purpose of this class is to give you a God view of the Bible. And God's view is a Hebrew view. It is based on 22 letters. It is based on the structure of those letters and how he's written the Bible. And it's based on the fact that all 22 of those letters, and even the Sefik letters, have numerical gematrias. So if you can imagine someone in heaven saying, okay, all the letters are also numbers, so I have to make sure all the numbers match as I'm writing this letter, okay? And then to say, after he gets to the New Testament, says, now I'm going to use the Greek, letters, and I got to make all their letters numbers too, so I can match all their letters to all the Hebrew letters. And then he mishes all that together, and then you have this perfect book called 66 Books of the Bible, and they're numerically valued and measured together so that not only do the stories and the prophecies match, all of the numerical values from the Old Testament have to match the numerical values of the New Testament. And then now you have the Bible, okay? And then someone comes along and go, man wrote the Bible, and then you just fall on the floor and start laughing, because at this point now you're starting to realize that it's impossible for man to write the Bible. We are going to go over today the Star of David, and to show you some things that are in Scripture so that you can understand where things came from and why, and how God was able to give us the Star of David, okay? Because if you listen to some people, they will say the Star of David is not from God. It's satanic, even some people will say. And you have to understand, if something is so sacred to God, who would want to corrupt it more than anyone? Satan, right? So if you got a pyramid on the back of your $1 bill with the all-seeing eye at the top of the pyramid, you got to start thinking, I wonder what it is about the pyramid that Satan is trying to corrupt. You understand? Or if you see zodiac signs of Libra and Scorpio, and I'm a Sagittarius, and all this stuff coming in people's mailbox, and you can buy them in the store, in the magazine racks, and you got to say, I wonder what it is about those constellations, those star constellations, that Satan would want to corrupt that, so that I wouldn't look into it. So now with what we gave you, as far as the star constellation, you have a beginning of understanding that the Bible was pre-written in the stars before God ever had Moses pen any of the Torah, okay? So it was already written, the scriptures were already there, and each scripture is written as part of the 12 major constellations and the three decans, making up the 48 constellations that are going to tell you the whole story of Jesus Christ. Okay? So, you have those. I know Pastor Ben sent them to you, so you have all 28. I want you to go through them as you're going through those, this is a self-study for yourself, because we can't take, you know, the next 7 weeks going over the star constellation. But you can go and you can buy the gospel in the stars book, and you can go through it and you can look at it and you can begin to appreciate that your God already had placed a cross in the sky on the fourth day of creation before anybody ever thought of the cross or anything like that, okay? Because Christ was crucified from the foundation of the, before the foundations of the world. I can't say from the foundation. The scripture says before the foundations of the world. So, and the star constellation proves that, because if you create something on the fourth day and the first man wasn't made till the sixth day, that means he already had the plan before he created man. Think about it, okay? Now, I want to make sure that we open up in prayer. I hope that you are also studying your Hebrew. I hope you received this in the mail, in your email. This is the conversation that we're going to go over today, okay? Doing this is going to help us begin to learn conversational Hebrew. And once we get to learning this conversational Hebrew, we're going to also learn the prefixes in reading Hebrew. Because if you're going to read Hebrew, you have to see, this is why I'm taking it step by step. Some people want me to hurry up. Let's just get to biblical Hebrew, or let's just get to deeper parts of Hebrew. But you have to, I can't teach you the verbs, the pael, the hipael, the binyan of how to build and structure words and letters in Hebrew. You have to go through it step by step so that you can have just a little bit of bite of everything. One of the sayings they say is, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So we're not going to try to eat this elephant with one big bite, okay? So we're going to start with basic conversational, then we're going to start writing it, and then you're going to see what prefixes in Hebrew lend to what we have in our language is called the ing. So that means you can say I run, you can say run, but if you know it's a present thing that's happening right now, you can say running, right? And we know that you, it's happening right now, okay? Any present thing has a prefix, so that when you see a mem before a word, you know that that prefix of mem means that that is a present thing that is happening now, right? If you see a yod in front of a word, you'll know that that yod is now pushing that word into the future. Or a or aleph in the modern Hebrew, which is the et, I mean the e, and it pushes something into the Hebrew. But I can't teach you all that now. We have to learn the basic, and then step by step, we'll learn more and more as we learn Hebrew. You already know a lot of sentences, and now we want to start going with basic conversations that are held in Israel every day so that you can be fluent or understanding those conversations and what's going on. By doing this, by the time we get to biblical Hebrew, you're going to understand the structure of how the scriptures are written, because Bereshit is not the word for in the beginning, okay? Reshit is the word for first fruit. Beg means in, okay? So the B on, and it's called a prefix. I'm gonna put the bet on the beginning of Reshit, and now it's gonna turn into Bereshit. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of prefixes that you need to know that come before words. Like you say, Hamalon. Malone is the hotel, but Hamalon is the hotel. But when you write it, you don't write it as we do, as the then hotel. You write it as one word. It's Hamalon. So you have to learn all the prefixes. So as we're learning the conversational Hebrew, we're also learning prefixes and what makes a word present, past, and future. Okay. So let's get started by doing the Shema prayer today. I'm feeling blessed And hope you were able to watch last night's Bible study and take the warning that we are in the 120th Jubilee, and it's not that far from September 29th, which is the end of Yom Kippur and this Jubilee. Okay, here we are. Let's do the Shema prayer, and I don't know, should I sing, Pastor Ben, or not?
Yes.
Sing, all right. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. One more time. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Now, if I was at the Orthodox, they would sing the whole thing, and they would go, Ve'avata et Adonai Elocha, Ve'kol levavcha, and they would sing the whole thing. But I'm not going to do that. So, Uvkol nefishka, uvkol mehadeka, Ve'hayu hadevarim ha'ele, Asher anoki mishvacha ha'yom al levavcha, Ve'shanatam lavaneka, Vedirbarta bam be shiftika, be vetika, uvletika videre, u shakrika ukumika, u shartan la otel yadeka, ve hayu letuta foot bain ayeneka, uftaftam al mizazot beteka uvishareka. Now, this is what the scripture said. It says, hear, O Israel, it means to hear and obey, that the Lord your God is Ihad, okay? And Ihad means a group, a singular one. He's a body, soul, and he's like us. He's a body, soul, and a spirit all living in one body. So Ihad means a group of one, but a one structure, okay? So we are made in the image of Elohim, okay? You are a three-part being, but we don't see three of you when we see you. But we have no argument with you fighting over the fact that your soul is part of your body, and your spirit is part of you, and your soul is part of you, and your body is part of you. We have no argument. But, you know, Trinity just brings an argument because Satan wants to bring an argument because he knows the structure of God. Okay, and it says, then you will learn to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all of your might. Let these words which I command you today be on your heart. Repeat them to your children. Speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk on the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Okay, bind them as a sign on your arm and let them be a frontlet between your eyes. Write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gate. And everybody says, amen.
Amen.
And they agree that we will not just hear, but we will obey the word of God. Okay? Now, let's look at this, the wording. If you have this, you don't have this, let us know. But if you have this, I want to go over this conversation. The conversation is between Gadi, which is a male, and Zipi, which is a female. Okay? What is the greeting in Hebrew to say hello? Shalom. Shalom. Okay? Now, Gadi says, Ek Karim Lak. Okay? Now, if I say Ek Karim Lak, what does that mean? What do they call you? This is how they ask your name. This is more common than the way she's going to ask him. Because Gadi says Ek Karim Lak, and she says Karim Li Zipi. Okay? And so she says, they call me Zipi, okay? Then she says the proper way. She says, he says, Zashim Yafeh. He says, your name is beautiful. It's a beautiful name that you have. Yafeh, we know is beautiful, right? Okay, so he says, Zashim Yafeh. Zashim Yafeh, right? And she says, Todah. We know that. She just said, thank you, right? Now she says, Ma Shimcha. This is the proper way, like if you're more dignified, how you're going to say, what is your name? Mashimcha, Mashmech, if it's a lady, right? Mashimcha, if it's a man. Mashmech, if it's a lady, okay? So now, she says, Mashimcha, what is your name? Okay? And he says, my name, Smi, okay? Smi Gadi, okay? To say my name is to say Smi, Smi Gadi. What's your name? Smi Linda. What's your name? Smi John. Smi, okay? And then Gadi at the, here says, Mash Nichmad Lachyorta, okay? So he says, Mikmash, it is a real nechmad, the pleasure. Lehachir means meeting, otchach, okay? Gadi is saying this to her, so he's saying, Mikmash, nechmad, lachir, otchach, to a lady. But if she said, Mikmash, nechmad, lachir, otchach, which mean for a man. So, we have to learn the difference between saying you in a man to a man, you to a woman, okay? And just speaking to a group of people saying you, okay? So this conversation, shalom, shalom, ekarim lak, karim lizipi, zeshim yafe, your name is beautiful, toda, mashimcha, smi gadi, okay, he says thank you, okay, and so that is the first conversation of male and female. Now, I'm going to send you another page that teaches you, that goes with this, that's going to teach you how to say you, rather you're talking to a male or a female, and then how to say you, rather you're talking to a whole crowd, him or like. Or O team, so that you can understand the difference between plural and speaking one to one with someone. Okay, and so this is the first conversation. Make sure that you take this conversation, put it in a book if you have a binder, because now next week you're going to get the teaching on this and the next conversation. Then you're going to get a teaching and the next conversation. And I'm going to send you maybe two a week. Because I think we're getting raptured. And when I get to Israel, when we get to Zion or the heavenly Jerusalem, and I say Echarim Lak, and you say Smi Linda, then you know we get at least talk a little Hebrew when we're there. But so we're gonna have to rush this and get this thing done, because we got a flight to catch. Praise God. Okay. Now what I want to teach you is this. Today, and you've probably seen this message before, because I think I did it one night, because some guys were trying to say that Israel were the evil people and the Star of David was from Satan, and so I wanted to teach on it. So I might have, you may have already seen this message, but I want you to see it for absolute sure, okay? Now, in your book, on page 49, it looks like this. Can you see that, Pastor Dan? Okay, that's the page I need you to be on. And now I want you to look at that scripture that is right in front of you, okay? And it says, Bereshit. You guys could probably read it now. I had you write it, right? Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim va'et haaretz. Okay? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So, understand this. God is not going to write a sentence if he doesn't know how many letters he's going to use. Because remember, while he's writing, he's doing math. So math can't be off, so every letter has to be right. This is why when the Jews rewrite the scriptures, it has to be written exactly as the original form of the scripture,
or else they burn it. If they have, they have other scribes go through and count the letters to make sure it has the proper amount of letters and the proper amount of words. And if it has anything off, they don't push it aside and say, we'll save it for later. They burn it. So the Lord has the Jewish people taking the word very serious. Do you know there is no such thing as the NIV Torah? There's no modern language for it. This is what it was in the beginning, and this is what it is now, okay? So, Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim va'et ha'aretz is the first sentence of the Bible. It has 28 letters. Why? You guys know why, right? Because you got 28 joints in each hand, and God wants you to know whose hand is creating this. God is creating this. So he puts 28 letters, but something more than putting 28 letters. He says, while I'm putting the 28 letters, I'm going to do some geometry, because geometry is math too. So now you have to understand, God is not just doing plus and minuses and fractions. He's doing geometry, physics. He's doing all of this stuff. Because, see, somebody has to make water. And so we need some physics. You know what I mean? We've got a whole lot of math going on in the creation of the world, okay? He has to make sure the earth is exactly positioned far enough from the sun that we don't burn up, and but that it benefits us in every way. You know what I mean? And so the measurement of how far the sun has to be from the earth has to be calculated within the wisdom of God, so that he knows that his creation. Then somebody had to create oxygen, because we have to breathe right here. You think you can breathe everywhere? All you got to do is go up high enough and you'll find out, hey, there's no air up here. So that means God created an atmosphere where oxygen can exist so that man can breathe. Sounds like he made earth just for man, huh? Okay, now, the word Bereshit has the numerical value, you'll see, of 913. The word Baram, which means to create out of nothing, has 203. Elohim is the numerical gematria of 86. Okay. Et, which is the Aleph and the Tav, that's 401. That's very important. We'll have to go back to that someday. Hashamayim has a numerical value of 395. Va'etz is 407. And Ha'aretz has 296. Altogether, those numbers equal out the value of 2,701. Okay? Or you can say this: 37 times 73 equals 2,701 equals Genesis chapter 1. Okay, so let me get my first board out here. So here's Genesis chapter 1. Can you see this? You don't have to go over there, I think, Pastor Ben. Can you see this?
Put it down.
Yeah, okay. Now, so Genesis chapter 1, you'll see it has 28. This is Genesis. See, I wrote Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim va'et ha'aretz. Okay, I wrote it, but I put all the letters here, 28 letters. Now, if I stack those letters in this unit gematria, okay, if I stack those letters, I can make a perfect triangle. You see that? So God actually made a triangle. With the first 28 letters, God made a triangle. You're like, okay, that's a unit geometry of a triangle is 28. Because the first unit geometry of a triangle is 3. The second unit geometry of a triangle is 6. So so as we got to 28, we see that 28 letters made the first. And guess what? So it makes, this is, you have 1, and then the three would be the second, and then this would be the third. This is the seventh triangle made. So the seventh triangle, as you can see on your paper, it says in column E1, is the seventh triangle is 28. So it takes 28 units to make the seventh triangle. Okay? Now, if I say 37 times 73 equals 2701, which is Genesis 1. Okay, now I'm going to say, let's turn this triangle on itself. Okay, now let's look at this. So I got me a triangle. And I say it has 28 units. And then I say, okay, but now I want to make another triangle, because I want to turn it back on itself. I want to, because this 28 is representing something. Wow. So now I have two triangles, okay? I have one pointed upward, and then I have one pointed downward, okay? So now we say 37 times 73. This word in Hebrew means wisdom, and 73 in an ordinal fashion also means wisdom. These equal 2701. That is the numerical value of Genesis chapter 1. So now I just turned the triangle back on against itself, right? So let's write 1, 0, 7, 2. Now, if I plus these two, it's going to equal out to 3,773. Okay? So it's still going to be the wisdom of God, but the wisdom of God is what? The Star of David. It's God piercing down into man. Okay? Who is man? Here is man up to God. But God says, no, I'm going to pierce down into you, okay, and give you balance, okay? So we have the Star of David being created in Genesis 1 is the Star of David, okay? Now, let's look at some more here. Let's look at this. I got more boards for you. I am not. Read. Okay, now look at this, okay? Okay. So, don't look at my artwork because it's not as good as it should be. Okay, let's go over to the next page here. Over to page 50, okay? Let's go over to page 50. I'm going to stay here for a while, Pastor Ben. Are you on page 50? Look at those. Look at that board. Make sure they say they're on page 50. Are you there? If you're on page 50, that's a beautiful thing, because what you're going to learn is this. 1 equals the first of any unit. The second unit of the Star of David takes 13 units. So the number 2 Star of David would take you 13 units to make the Star of David. The number 3 Star of David would take you 37 units. That's why we put on the board 37 and 73, okay? Because the third is going to take you 37 units. But the fourth Star of David is going to take you 73 units, okay? So we look at that, and you're on this page, right? So, huh? Yeah, we're still on page 50. Okay. Where are my glasses? Let me make sure I don't have to read anything here. Okay. Now, okay, it says the number is the basis of the unity of what they call the holograph, which is built upon four nests, okay? Words cluster, and the sum to multiply the number equals one is love, okay? Now it says, the further manifest is Corinthians chapter 13. So now, God is what? Love. Behold, God is love, and whoever loves is loved, is born of God and knoweth God. God is love. What is God's numerical, the letter that equals God? Aleph, the one, okay? The second numerical value that equals love is 13, okay? So that's why you got Corinthians chapter 13, 13 verses, 13 characteristics of love, 13 verses in the 13th chapter, okay? Because God is trying to show you what love is, okay? Now, the number 37 and the number 73, the fourth star, okay? So both of them equal to the numerical value of the word wisdom, hakam, in Hebrew, okay? Now, if we come to the fourth star of David, here we go. Let's go to page 51. Let's look at the star of David here. Are we there? Okay. Now, so when I get to the 10th time that I'm going to do a Star of David, I'm going to need a lot more units, right? I don't need 13 units, and I don't need 73 units, and I don't need 37 units to make the 10th Star of David, okay? I would need 541 units to make the Star of David. Okay, but here, let's go over here, Pastor Ben. I think I have my marker. Okay. So now if I write the word is Ra-el, okay. The numerical value for Israel is 541. Okay. Now, do you believe that when God wrote the name Israel, he already considered that to make the 10th Star of David is going to take 541 units? So, that means when God wrote out the name Israel in the book of Genesis, before he gave them the Star of David, he already know that the 10th. Now, what is the numerical? What is 10 in Hebrew? 10 in Hebrew means, watch it there. All right. 10 in Hebrew means perfect. Okay. Order. Okay, so to have perfect order is the numeric 10. That's why we got 17. That's why we have, this is perfect order. That's why you have 10 generations that for them that they have to wait to get their king. 10 is perfect order, okay? So perfect order is 10. So when I make my first Star of David 1, then I make my second Star of David 13, then I make my third Star of David 37 units, then I make my fourth Star of David, it takes me 73 units. Then I say, okay, I want to go all the way till I make the 10th Star of David. Well, that's going to be 541 numerical units. It's going to take 541 units to make that, which also spells out the name Israel, is the numerical value of 541. Okay, so that means what? There's some wisdom going on, Right? There's some absolute wisdom going on in the mind of God as he's writing the scripture and as he's already in his mind given the Star of David to the Jewish people. Okay? Never let anybody tell you Star of David is from Satan. Satan's not that smart, first of all. Okay? Now, you get this numerical value here. It says in Psalms, and we're on page 52 now, okay? And it says, our souls wait for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, okay? That shield is the Star of David, okay? Now, this shield, you'll see it says on page 52, the word Israel. You see that? The word Israel equals 541. Same amount of units for the 10th Star of David. Let's see if some other things are 541. If I say the commandments, numerical value, 541. If I say the tablets of stone, that's where the commandments were, right? Same numerical value, 541. So what do I have to conclude? That all of these words were written in God's pre-knowledge that he's giving the Star of David to the nation of Israel and is going to be the perfect order. The 10th star is going to represent Israel because Israel is going to be the perfect order for God's chosen people. Okay, let me see if I need to turn over anymore. Wow. Okay. So, do I have any more? Okay, so now, are you trying to understand why and how God gave the Star of David, okay? To make the seventh triangle is 28, okay? Genesis chapter 1. Every numerical value has some... I was looking for my bag, but maybe I left it. Oh, it's over there. Let me have the thing out of there, Pastor Ben, if you can. The brown one, Jack was a thing. Okay, now let's look at this. Okay, let's look at this. Now, almost everybody got this question right in the test, and the question is, what is the numerical value of Jesus? 888, right? Okay. So now, if you know that, I'm going to read a scripture in English first, okay? And it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful," okay, "Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Let's stop there before we move on, okay? First of all, it's telling us that a child is going to be born, and that son is being given to us by God. He gave his only begotten son, right? So now, God gives us this son, and he says, on his son, the governments of the world are going to be on his shoulders, okay? And he says, these are the titles of this child that's going to be born. He's going to be Wonderful, which you'll find out that Wonderful is just another name for God. It turned again, Pastor Ben. That Wonderful is just another name for God. Then it's going to be Counselor, which is the name of the Holy Spirit, the Helper, Eleazar. Then he says his name is going to be the Mighty God, El Shaddai or El Gabor. He's going to be the Mighty God. The Son is going to be the Mighty God. Does it say the Son is going to be the Mighty Angel?
Nope.
It says the Son is going to be Wonderful, Counselor, and he's going to be the Mighty God. Then he says this, which blows my socks off when I read it. He's also going to be the everlasting Father. If you're the Son and you're being born, how are you going to be the everlasting Father? How can you be the Father and the Son? Because there's only one everlasting Father, right? Okay, so that means the Son is the Father. So God is keeping his promise of what? That he's going to manifest himself into his own creation as the Son, as the Lamb, right? So then it says at the end, he will also be called the Prince of Peace. Ki yalad yalad lanu ben natan lanu watai chab mishral al sheikh mo wa yirach. I can't read. Shemo Pele. Pele is wonderful. Yitzei El Gibor, that's mighty God. Okay, and Aviyad Sar Shalom. Sar Shalom is the Prince of Peace. Okay, so here it is in Hebrew. Here's the scripture, that same scripture in Hebrew. Okay, there's that same scripture in Hebrew. Okay, so let's count every seventh letter. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I count seven letters and I say the numerical value for this lamed is 30. 1, 2, 3, 4. Wait a minute. Well, 5, 6, 7. So I say, okay, the tet. Okay, then I'm going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So I'm counting every seventh letter in this verse, Isaiah 9:6. When I get to the end of that verse, I've counted out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 letters, which equal 888. So we look at the value of each letter that was counted out. Okay. And you see that here's the name of Yeshua in Greek is 888. We see the numerical value of each letter that is counted out in the Hebrew. So that means that God didn't tell you who the Son was going to be. He doesn't say, for us, a child is born and his name is going to be Jesus. God doesn't do that in the Old Testament because he would be revealing Christ before he comes. Okay? But he says, unto us a son is given. We know in the New Testament, God said, for unto that he gave his only begotten Son. So we know this is Jesus. Okay? Because we're in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament, you're reading this, you're just saying, okay, he's gonna have a son one day. The governments are gonna be on his head, and he's gonna be the everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace and the mighty God. Okay, God doesn't tell you that this is Jesus, but what does he do? He numerically values it by making every seventh letter equal 888, which is Jesus Christ, so that you'll know that. When he wrote this, he was talking about Jesus. Okay? So what are we talking about? We're talking about wisdom. Okay? God wrote the Bible, but in the Bible, you have his wisdom. Okay? One of the next week we're going to look at Isaiah 53. Now, in the book of Isaiah 53, I believe it's every 20th letter spells Yeshua is my name. Okay? Now, if you do it backwards from the bottom, every 20th letter spells Yeshua Shema, Jesus the gift. Okay? Yeshua Shah, Jesus the gift. So, in the book of Isaiah chapter 53, as you're reading through it, you will never see the name Jesus. But in the gematria of the book, you're going to see Jesus is my name in Isaiah 53. And backwards, you're going to see Jesus the gift. Okay? God put it in there so that when you read it, or if you study it like God said, you're going to know that whoever wrote this book could not have possibly been a man. Okay? And so, I want us to study this week the rest of the star constellations. I want you to look at that whole thing and compare it with the star constellation and the scriptures that we have in the book. And what you're going to find is you're going to find the rapture of the bride inside this, the 48 constellations. You're going to see her in the earth, chained up, and then you're going to see her in heaven with no chain sitting next to the king. Okay? You're going to see the rapture in the star constellation. That's why when people tell me, you know, well, there's not going to be a rapture. You know, it's like what Satan does, right? I'm going to corrupt your word. I know you know there's going to be a rapture, but they don't really know because they don't know how wise you are and that you wrote the book before we even came into existence, right? So he can lie on the book because he doesn't know the depth of the book. What I'm teaching you is the depth of the book so that nobody could come to you and say, the cross, you know, did you know that the cross is really an evil symbol that the pagans invented in the early 1500s or something? Then you're going to go, that's an absolute lie, because there's a cross in the sky on the fourth day of creation. I had to tell a Jehovah Witness this once, because he was trying to convince me that the cross was a pagan symbol. And I said, well, let me show you something. If the Southern Crux was in the sky on the fourth day, that means that before God made man, he already had a cross. So what pagan people made the cross if there were no men made? But see, this is what we do. Now you see here in the scriptures, where the scriptures is telling you that Jesus is the child that's going to be born and his name is going to be the Everlasting Father. Now, you don't have to argue with anybody. Rather, Jesus is God. Because the scriptures is telling you that Jesus is God before Jesus even comes into the world and says, don't you know when you've seen me, you've seen the Father? You're him. You're the guy he talked about in Isaiah 9:6 that said you'd also be the everlasting Father and the Son. So you'll never get the wrong Jesus. You understand? Because some people want to introduce you to a Jesus that's not God. And that Jesus is not the Jesus you want to serve. Because if you don't believe his own testimony that he was God in the flesh, then you're believing in what the Mormons believe. And the Mormons believe this. Jesus was born as a man. Yes, yes, yes. But he ascended as a God. And see, if you become a Mormon, you're now a man. But if you keep our rules and everything, and you can also become a God like Jesus, and we can also be resurrected. This is what Luciferians teach. So the Mormon church, who the leader of the Mormons, actually came out of the Illuminati, and the leader of the Jehovah Witness actually came out of the Illuminati to start these two false religions. Both say the same thing. Jesus is not God. Okay? Only through Hebrew and understanding of the scriptures are you going to understand Jesus being God is not an argument. We don't even have to discuss it. Jesus was God in the flesh. Okay? All right. So, end of that, I want us to... What's the homework, Pastor Ben? The homework.
Study the language.
Right. Do your study on the conversational language. I want to try and make it where you guys can start practicing the language. See, if you got somebody at home that's also doing the course with you, they could practice speaking the language too. I'm going to send you a second conversation probably tomorrow. And then to add to that conversation, I want you to stack all of these conversations up till you get all 28. I'm not going to send you one a week. I'm going to send them to you as I finish them. And then you can start practicing the conversations and then start learning how the conversations go in Hebrew. And when we come into class, I'm going to write them in Hebrew so you can start seeing the prefixes and how did that sentence become a future. Because Genesis chapter 22, he says, Abraham says to his son, Elohim yiro'ah lo. Okay? He says, God will appear himself. You say, how is it that you make that word, God will appear himself, when the English just says, God will provide a lamb? How did you make it say, God will appear himself? Because he never used the word provide, and then he used a yod as a prefix in front of the word to see, ro'ah, which made that word mean a future. In the future, he will appear. And then it says, lo, himself. So now he's saying, Elohim will appear himself. Key what? As the lamb, okay? As the lamb, as the olah offering, okay? Incredible stuff. As we begin to study Hebrew and see the Bible from God's perspective and his wisdom. And that's going to be it for this class today. Study that. I'm sending you some more stuff out tonight. I'm going to also want you to start writing some of these sentences in Hebrew, but let me get more conversations to you first. Okay, so let's pray out. How's everybody today? I'm so thankful for all of you. God finally introduced me to some people who actually want to study and know his word. And I'm thankful for each and every one of you. So God bless you. And let me bless you with the words of God as we pray out. It says, bless my Moses, when you come together and you see my people, he said, bless my people and say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Yivarekha Adonai veyishmarekha. Yayer Adonai panavilecha vehunecha. Yaseh Adonai panavilecha veyasim lecha shalom. All right. Leitriot Shavua Haba. See you next week. Leitriot.